Dan Orlovsky on McAfee yesterday. He's got ties to where he's going to be coaching football next year. Seems to be strongly implying the Patriots, which is what Tom Curran reported last night. Mike Vrabel would be interested in coaching the Patriots. Neither Keith nor I are picking Mike Vrabel as our choice in our Patriots plan.
Mm-hmm.
We both have fixed the Patriots in 60 seconds, but that's interesting. Curran says Vrabel would take it or be interested in coaching the Patriots. Orlovsky seems to be strongly hinting at it. A year ago, he was also strongly hinting at Bill landing somewhere in the NFL and having a job lined up.
Yeah, I don't think he nailed that.
Two years later, he's in college football, so I'm not saying it's a great track record for Orlovsky, but there you go. You can jump in with all your Patriots plans, 617-779-7937. We're going to replay you our plans from earlier today. We put ourselves on the clock, and then we're going to get Jermaine.
I've heard that.
I forgot about that. That was the Bill one.
Yeah,
wow, I forgot about that.
Yeah, he had a hard time with that.
Yep. It's all right. So at least he got this one out a little cleaner.
Right.
But Mike Vrabel, possibly an option. He is not an option for you or I. Let's play my 60-second plan first,
okay,
Keith, because, you know, you can do a 3-point plan. You can do a 5-point plan.
No doubt.
That might not be enough. So we gave ourselves a full minute.
Fix the Pats.
My plan, then Keith's plan, then we're going to get Wiggy on the line. He has a 60-second plan for the Pats as well. Let's hear mine first. Okay, here's my plan to fix the Patriots in a minute. I'm starting by firing Jerod Mayo the day after the season ends. I don't think you're getting Ben Johnson, so I'm going to pass on Mike Vrabel. I'm going to pass on Brian Flores. I am hiring Liam Cohen, Bucs offensive coordinator, as my head coach. He's going to call his own plays. Elliot Wolf, you done, son. I hire Ray Agnew, Lions assistant GM, as my GM. They drafted very, very well over the last few years. Like Keith, I'm firing DeMarcus Covington. I am hiring Jim Leonard, Broncos secondary coach, as defensive coordinator. I love how the Broncos play defense. Here's what I'm doing for the roster. I'm trading a second-round pick for DK Metcalf. I'm trading down in the first round. I'm getting draft assets. I'm drafting my favorite wide receiver, Luther Burden, out of Missouri. I move back into the first round and take an offensive tackle, also known as best hoss available. I'm going to actually burn some cash. I'm going to sign left tackle Ronnie Stanley from the Ravens. I'm going to sign quarterback DJ Reed from the Jets, linebacker Nick Bolton from the Chiefs. I'm trading Kyle Duggar for a seventh rounder, a best offer. I'm going to cut Vidarian Lowe. I'm firing Jalen Polk into the sun. I'm switching back to Pat Patriot uniforms. I'm never showing Robert and Jonathan on TV. Burning down the lighthouse. Wow.
Burning down the lighthouse.
That was aggressive at the
end.
That
was.
You really stuck the landing, though, I think.
I did.
A lot of people your way.
I did. That's true.
Yeah, let's hear what I had
so
to
that's
say.
That's my plan. Let's hear Keith on the clock.
All right, here we go. This time I'm going to fix the Patriots. First thing I do is I apologize to the fans. I say, fans, we are sorry that you've had to watch this product for the last 5 years. Next thing I do, I offer Jerod Mayo a very nice severance package. I say, you're done. We made a huge mistake. You are relieved of your duties. I hire Ben Johnson. How do I do that? I spend a ton of money on Ben Johnson. So he is now my head coach and my de facto offensive coordinator. With the third pick in the draft, I'm taking Travis Hunter. This team needs star power, Jones. You get it with a Heisman Trophy winner who plays both sides of the ball. You put him as your number two wide receiver because I'm throwing the bag at T. Higgins. I'm also going to trade back into the first round and draft the BHA. Best hoss available. Whoever that is, I'm grabbing him, throwing him on my offensive line. So I'm going to have two first-round picks, Travis Hunter, best hoss available. I'm signing T. Higgins. I'm letting Ben Johnson run the team. Keep Van Pelt if you want. Ben Johnson can hire any defensive coordinator he wants. I'm getting rid of Covington as well.
Okay. So I did notice re-listening to your plan. As you said, you really didn't need the full minute. You kind of recapped there.
I want to make sure I want to hammer those points home. That's how important they are.
That's
each one's
true.
Important.
So you can vote on who had the better plan. That's up now at Jones and Keefe. Jones still leading at 53%.
All right, get on there. Still time to vote.
I'm rounding up a bit. 52.8, like the 310 to Left podcast.
But by popular demand, this was actually requested.
Yeah.
They said, we need the Jermaine Wiggins 60-second plan to fix the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And he is now on the line with us.
Okay. Wiggy, you ready to go on the clock? 60 seconds to fix the Pats. You ready?
I'm ready to go. And this is complete, like, you know, wish list, right? Christmas, opening my gifts.
Yes. Wish list, opening your gifts. Put them on the clock, Nick. Here he goes.
All right, so here's what I'm doing. I'm losing the remainder of the games, getting the number one pick. I'm trading down. I'm packaging a couple first-round picks, and I'm going to get Ja'Marr Chase. I am then firing both my offensive and defensive coordinator. I'm hiring Brian Daboll to work with Drake May because he's similar to Josh Allen. And then I am drafting hiring B-Flow from the Minnesota Vikings to be my defensive coordinator because him and Mayo have worked together in the past, I believe. So I am then using my free agency to bring in some offensive linemen. I am then also maybe using a second-round pick to trade for a guy like Max Crosby, a defensive end out in Vegas, to see if I can get a guy who can get after the quarterback. I like you, Jones. I am going back to the Patriots old school uniform, and well, I am doing this. I'm hiring Jermaine Wiggins as tight end coach to work with the tight end.
You got more time?
You got five seconds.
Oh, I got more time? Okay, and I'm guess what?
That was good, though.
Wiggy, great job.
There was a ton in there.
Yeah.
I was gonna have Drake perform at halftime at one of the Patriots games.
Love that.
Drake, nice. Yep. Wiggy as tight ends coach. Oh, that was an oversight on our part.
You gotta give Kendrick Lamar equal time,
yeah,
though. You can't just have Drake.
That's true. All right, Wiggy, thanks so much.
Wiggy.
That's a great plan.
Not a problem. Anytime.
Okay. Right. Jermaine Wiggins
as
Patriots tight end coach. I wish we thought of that.
That's really good.
Yeah,
I didn't consider that. Coach up the tight ends.
He wants Jamar
Chase.
You want
better tight end production? Hire Wiggy.
He's keeping Mayo.
Although he did think Devin Asiasi was going to have like an all-time
catches.
Season.
True.
All right,
good
we're
going
to do that now. He was nice enough to call in.
He's bringing in Jamar Chase. I love that.
But
Max Crosby.
But this is what they should. So he is one of the few Mayo defenders out there.
I think he's the only one we've heard all day keeping Mayo.
They did put him on the hot seat today. They made him choose Mayo or Vrabel.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
You know what he said?
Vrabel.
He did, but even it was hard for him. But he did say Vrabel. However, this is what they should have done originally. Now I know Daboll and Flores both had jobs, but guys like that make sense. So this is the Sirianni thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sirianni, they were like, we don't know if you're the guy, but we like you enough. But we're gonna blow out both coordinators and bring in serious guys with experience.
So if we're gonna nitpick his plan, though, is Flores leaving Minnesota to take the D coordinator job here to work underneath Mayo?
Kind of a wish list thing. You'd have to give him a lot of money.
And that's the game. The game. But now it's like, okay, how realistic is it? Because you're picking Ben Johnson here.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's a great pick. I chose to be a little more, I think, realistic on that. But it's a wish list. You can do it however you want.
But don't you think the most likely is Vrabel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Agree. I agree with that.
We for sure available.
Yep.
Curran says he would take it.
He would. Let me get the wording right again.
And you remember the stuff when Vrabel got inducted?
It's sneaky hard to find on the internet, Curran.
But you remember the Team Hall of Fame thing and how Robert Kraft was like right there with him? Like, Vrabel, that seemed like it was going to happen.
Vrabel would be interested in coaching the Patriots. That's not a done deal. Interested doesn't mean he's taking it.
Two other big names.
And Orlovsky, if you care, says he's got a job lined up and he's got ties to it.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. He also said, you couldn't pay me all the money in the world to play Drake May, and now he might be one of the greatest players of all time. So he also, two big-time names that, why not? If you're going to dream big, Jamar Chase, Max Crosby.
I mean, those are good names.
Those are great
Those are better names. I had DK Metcalf and like a bunch of free agents.
Yeah.
You had
T. Higgins.
Thank you. His names are better than ours.
Yeah.
He's aiming higher.
Chase doesn't have a new deal yet. Cincinnati's a cheap franchise.
Yep.
You could argue so is the New England Patriots.
All three of our plans, we didn't even name offensive line. Well, I named Ronnie Stanley, but we didn't
Big
even
Hoss.
Name. Yeah, we no, all
he
went,
said best available, which we all should went, just be BHA.
BHA, best Hoss available.
Yeah.
I don't love.
But he's losing out, which is good. Great point by him. He's like, which I think they're going to lose out anyway.
No, so, lose out and get the first pick. I didn't even think of that.
You might get the first pick.
I like. Wiggy's plan was much, much better than I expected.
It was great.
Much better than
well
I expected.
Well thought out. Trade down.
In your face, Twitch chat.
It was 45 seconds is all he needed. He was good. Good to go.
Very good. That was a strong 45 seconds.
That was nice.
It's all about
memorable.
The intense.
It was memorable.
It's about the intensity of the 45 seconds, really. What
no
it
doubt.
Is. Intense takes there.
That's good stuff.
I don't love that my Pat Patriot uniform has now been co-opted.
Well,
I don't love that. This
a good idea is a good idea.
It's the problem with getting out in front and campaigning for a long time, and then somebody parachutes in at the end, and they kind of take the best of what you got.
True.
They're adopting your platform.
True, true.
I kind of don't love that.
So everybody has Covington out.
Yeah, even
right.
Wiggy, yes. He has Mayo back.
Mayo's back.
Although they put him in the hot seat, and he was taking Vrabel today.
But he has Van Pelt out.
Yep.
You and I have Van Pelt back because we're hiring offensive head coaches.
You know what? I didn't really think that through, but in my scenario, Van Pelt could survive, yes.
You didn't mention him, but I'm just saying like you didn't. But
well,
you didn't like kick him out either.
I pictured it as him being out because he'd be replaced as play caller, but he might just be like, I'm offensive coordinator
I've done that before.
And Liam Cohen, you're calling plays fine.
Stefanski, that's what he did for years.
So I didn't think that one out in fairness, but yeah, you got me there.
It's a good time.
But both of us are adding on the offense, offensive lineman, best Hoss available.
Yeah.
And receivers.
Two wide receivers.
Both,
two.
We're both acquiring one veteran and drafting one highly.
I want to steal one from one of the calls that did, Micah Parsons. So if Wiggy's going to take Max Crosby, I'll take Micah Parsons.
Parsons or Max Crosby? That's what I'll use.
Oh.
Parsons or Max Crosby?
Ah, man, that's close. They might be the two best, right? Like when they're healthy at getting after the quarterback. I guess I would take Parsons, but I don't think you can go wrong either way.
No, it's true. So look, I think I would, Crosby's probably a little easier to acquire, I would think.
Yeah, I don't know what Dallas is doing. Like, yeah. What is Dallas's plan and all
Parsons,
that stuff?
Parsons, I mean, doesn't Crosby already have a deal? Maybe he's dissatisfied
yeah.
with it.
Well, no, it's one of those things where if you're the Raiders, you're like, what are we doing with this guy? Like, yeah. Can we maximize what we're getting? Because they're going to have to probably take Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward in the draft and get a new coach and start completely over.
So enough enough just kind of, oh, the Patriots stink and this and that. How do you fix them?
We just did three different ways.
We're in the solutions business. You can vote for Jones or Keefe. Our plans are up now. At Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. You can add Wiggy's as well if you'd like. A write-in vote, I guess, in that scenario. He's Ross Perot. You can write that in, and we'll see whose plan you like the most. We are going to play you some of Jerod Mayo's press conference. Played you a snippet earlier. Some of Jerod Mayo before the hour's out. We'll get to Kirk Cousins getting benched. Is there a story there about playing your rookies week one instead of learning behind a veteran? I think there is. So we'll do all that coming up, and we'll take more of your Patriots plans. Chuck's in New Hampshire. You want to put Chuck on the clock there, Keith?
Yeah, put him on the clock. Yeah, Pat's plan?
Yeah, Pat's
plan. Put him on the clock, Nick. Nick, throw him on the clock. Here you go, Chuck. What do you have?
Chuck, you're on the clock.
All right, boys. Great show. Love it. All right, so what I'm going to do, I am going to trade down, either take Tet McMillan or Emeka Egbuka. And then with that first-round pick that you get for next year, you will then trade for a splash player like Max Crosby. Take your second rounder, trade for DK Metcalf. So you have two big-ass wide receivers. And then in free agency, DJ Reed, Carlton Davis, get two corners. Jedrick Wills, left tackle. And then Nick Bolton, splash defensive player.
Wow, the Jones
started naming a lot of guys. Yeah,
Metcalf, Bolton, like Reed.
No.
Big-ass wide receivers. The B-A-W-R. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, big-ass wide receiver, not to be confused with the B-H-A.
No. That's a plan.
Well,
they didn't mention anything about coaching, though, did he?
Didn't hear
just
anything
player,
about
just like yeah. a wishlist player.
Yeah, he's upgrading the roster. Yeah, running it back with Mayo.
That's a big part of it.
Maybe he's a Mayo guy. So you are drafting at 3.
As of today, yes.
Okay. A year ago, I felt very strongly about not trading back. I wanted a quarterback. I'm real open to the idea of moving back this year. And we're a long ways away from the draft. Let's see where the Patriots even are. But the idea of let me move down, collect assets, and I can move back up later in the first round and maybe get two first-round picks this year, I'm a big proponent of that this year. I was not a year ago. I wanted the quarterback. You now have the quarterback. If I can find a way to get a wide receiver, and I don't love Hunter purely as a receiver. I'm not as high on Tet McMillan as a lot of people are. So I like the idea of moving down, still getting a receiver, and then jumping back in late first round, getting a tackle, and now you leave the first round with one of each. Because
so
they need both.
If hypothetically they had a quarterback going into last year's draft, it would have made a lot of sense to trade down because you would have gotten a king's ransom for Drake May. Like, that was a clear cut. Three quarterbacks were going there. And I think if you look back at the history of the league, you can get more for a quarterback. If a team's trading up for a quarterback, you can get a haul. This year, the early returns right now are it's not a very strong draft. And, you know, last year's draft, not just the quarterbacks, but maybe everything else, specifically the offensive players, because that's what most of the first round was, was better last year than it is this year. So if you're trading down from 3 and you're adding an extra pick, but it's another pick from this year's draft, and you're just sliding down, and now you're getting maybe a lineman that you don't love as much or a receiver that I just feel like if you can take somebody like Travis Hunter at 3, I would just do that.
Figure out one of these quarterbacks going back to school, like Drew Aller, and maybe
He is.
Drew Aller is, and
would it make the 3rd overall pick more valuable since there's less quarterbacks to choose from?
No.
No,
especially because
it's less valuable. I think it's less valuable,
yeah, me too.
Only because people are going to go crazy to trade up for a quarterback.
Yeah, here's the thing.
More, I mean, they like, you know, Julio Jones went for a lot, mm-hmm. and that was trading up for a wide receiver.
That's
if you want to go back, and Ricky Williams literally went for, and that was 25 years ago, but he went for an entire draft, and that was a running back.
When you need him.
No, so you need a maniac out there that wants Travis Hunter, and maybe there is. Maybe there is some GM out there that's like, this is the piece we need. And then they offer you a ton, and then you'd have to listen.
So I don't think this is as good of a quarterback class as a year ago.
Definitely not.
It'll be hard to match that. But if it's just Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, that's not good for picking 3rd.
No.
Because you're not going to get the same haul, as you said, for Travis Hunter. There are examples of it happening over the years, but largely people are moving way up the board.
Also, I don't know
and
if
giving
they,
up a haul for a quarterback.
I don't know if they for sure will pick third. I haven't looked enough into that. Like, even if they lose out, there's a lot of three-win
yep.
teams right now.
Totally.
And there's all different tiebreakers. Remember, we dealt with this last year, you know, why they picked after Washington, but ahead of Arizona, even though they all had the same record. It was like strength of schedule and all that other like tiebreaker stuff. So that's also like, we shall see the next three games, how that goes. Because Jacksonville, Carolina, Tennessee, and Cleveland all also have three losses.
Yeah, so right. You could be drafting eight or nine.
Yeah.
And now you're missing out on that whole idea. So Wiggy, that was a great point by Wiggy. Lose out.
Yeah,
lose out.
That's first and foremost.
I didn't even think about that. Good job by him.
I think it's sort of implied after you lose to Arizona the way that you did. Two with Buffalo and then one with the Chargers that probably need that game to get in the playoffs. I think they will, but
that should be part of your plan.
Right.
I don't want them winning anymore. That's
agreed.
Fair. You do like Hunter though, as a receiver.
Yeah.
As a receiver, you like him or do you like the full he can play on both sides of the football?
Both. And I was talking to Wiggy, I think, off the air about this. And, you know, I think if you give him some like NFL coaching and maybe he starts running more of the routes and like, cause right now he's just kind of overwhelming teams with his athleticism mm-hmm. than anything. But he's like, but he probably has it in him. So he might also choose, like, I would rather be more of a wide receiver. There's more money in it. That might be the way to go. Don't you think, like, a top-end wideout's going to get paid more than a top-end
yeah,
corner?
Yeah, but is he more likely to be a top-end corner or a top-end
wideout?
See,
I don't know. Like, he's been doing both for so long. I don't want him to have to choose, by the way. Like, I want him to do both.
No, I agree. Whoever drafts him should let him do both. Is it worth drafting him at three because you think he's an elite corner and a good receiver? Or would you rather just get a better receiver? Like, I'm kind of leaning towards... I am leaning towards the better receiver.
I don't know how many of the receivers are clear-cut better than him, so I like the idea of a guy that can do both, but that's why part of the plan is if you slot him in as your number two for both, like it's less pressure on him.
Right. He doesn't have to be your one, but then you still need a one.
Every offensive snap. That's why you have to get T. Higgins or Metcalf or
right. in your plan,
Chase or whoever.
In your plan, you have Higgins.
Yeah.
Wiggy's plan. Well, Wiggy didn't have Hunter, but Jamar Chase is another name that comes up. I was getting asked in the Twitch chat, why DK Metcalf? So out of the realistic names, I think Higgins is very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I think a guy like Deebo Samuel is very realistic. You brought up A.J. Brown. I think that's a good name. You know, Jamar Chase to me is not realistic. He's not going to get away from Cincinnati, but if you could get him, awesome.
Yeah.
Out of the names that I think are realistic, I like DK the best. A.J. Brown would be better. I'm a little skeptical he shakes free.
Yeah, they might smooth that over.
But I like DK Metcalf a lot. And I would want to pair him with somebody else with some movement skills who's not just an outside guy. Because Metcalf is more of an outside guy, even in a down year. And he is being phased out a little bit in Seattle. JSN has passed him by. I think he's going to, you know, clear 1,000 yards easily. Touchdowns are down. But he's proven he's an alpha receiver before in the league. I want an alpha receiver.
Yeah, I think if you...
Higgins has not proven that he's an alpha receiver.
No, similar to Steph Diggs. You know, if you go back and look at Steph Diggs' time in Minnesota, he was very good. He and Thielen kind of would split targets. I think he had a 1,000-yard season, but nothing crazy. Then he got to Buffalo, was the guy, led the league in receiving. And so I think Higgins might have more of a path.
Yeah, I'm not saying Higgins can't be. I'm just saying he hasn't been. That's all. I'm not saying he won't be or can't be. I know DK Metcalf can be. I don't know that about
him. That's why I think both guys together are so important. And even though A.J. Brown and Tyreek Hill might be better, you notice when they went to their teams, Brown, they later drafted Devontae Smith.
Yep.
And then with Hill, they drafted Jaylen Waddle. So that's why in my plan, Travis Hunter on his own, in this Patriots wide receiver room, you're like, all right, he's good, but like, man, you're asking a lot. Same thing as if it's just T. Higgins and no Travis Hunter, and you're like, hey, Pop Douglas and Kayshon Booty are the next guys. They'd be like,
ugh.
So T. Higgins went from being in the huddle with Jamar Chase to Pop Douglas. Like, I think that's kind of overwhelming.
Yeah, people are going to key in on him, I think.
I like his individual talent, but I think if Drake May's sitting there and he finds out next offseason both Travis Hunter and T. Higgins are showing up, like,
that's a game changer.
Sky's the limit.
I agree.
Yeah.
You mentioned Hill. Nick, what were you telling me off the air about Tyreek Hill? He had weird comments today.
Oh, I need to find his tweet, but it was something along the lines of, like, I got to go, coach.
All right.
Oh, he just tweeted that out.
It is randomly.
Not at anybody.
He
just
tweeted out, or he tweeted out at 10:49, it's time for me to go, coach. And then,
an hour ago, I might get my first gray hair this year. Lucky him.
Yeah, so I think he's just saying he's old. Maybe somebody said he was old or something.
So who knows? I just
Something to keep an eye on.
Who knows? But if that's another name that's potentially available.
Do you see what his Twitter bio is?
No.
Husband.
Yep.
Present father. Military son. Leader.
Yeah.
How does he have the time in the world to see all those kids?
He might be none of those. He might be none of those.
I mean, who's to say?
Yeah. Okay, so you can jump in with all your Patriots. How do you fix the Patriots? We're not giving you a minute, but you might get 30 seconds, but it's a good plan. We heard Wiggy's plan there. He's employing himself with the Patriots. I think that's a good move by Jermaine Wiggins. So we'll take all your Patriots plans. 617-779-7937. Fix the Patriots. Don't just complain about them. Fix them. You have a blank canvas to come in and fix the thing. So go ahead
seconds.
And do it.
We might have to cut it down.
We may have
people
to.
People aren't even using their full time. Maybe we'll go to 20 seconds.
So fix the Patriots on the phones and on the text line, Twitch chat as well. We'll get to Kirk Cousins getting benched. I think there's a tie-in here with rookie quarterbacks. You should play him week one. And we'll get to Jerod Mayo, highlights, lowlights, from his press conference earlier today. He was asked about his job security and his future in New England. You'll hear all that right after Trending with Billy Lane. I was Jerod Mayo.
It's implied that I guess he's still around.
Yep.
But part of my plan is, like, that would be Elliot Wolf doing all of those things. So I guess it doesn't really matter who's doing those things at that point. But
no, it's true.
No, we've had some.
You're the GM in that.
I went with Ben Johnson, which a lot of people would go with. You went with Liam Cohen. We've had Mike Vrabel. We've also had a John Gruden. That seemed like it was from the clouds.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. So we've had a few different ones.
Check his emails is what you got to do. Look. But so Mayo, first of all, great job. I think that's Giardi. Giardi and Kide sound similar to me. No offense to either if they're listening, if that's offensive to either one. But I just had trouble making out who it was.
Who's more offended?
I think that was Giardi, I think. And good job by peppering him. And he's like, oh, well, I'm just trying to tell you where my focus is. Jerod, I don't buy that you're focused on the Bills this week.
Yeah.
You're the same guy who keeps talking about next year I'm going to implement all these things I've learned. The year came at me really quick, but don't worry, I have ideas for next year. Like, you're the one already living in next year. Now you want me to believe you're focused on the Bills? So number one, I don't buy that. Number two, that's a shift. Shift from I'm back next year to I'm just focused on the Bills right now. Does that tell you anything?
Yeah, well, it tells you a couple things. You know, is he just realizing that this is getting a lot worse, even without even being told? He's just like, oh, man, like, this is much worse than I thought it was going to be. Before the year began, he thought he was going to win five or more games. He's now staring down the barrel of a three-win season. But more likely is somebody talk to him, whether it be Kraft or even just, you know, we assume it's somebody like Stacey James. Somebody there that, because he even referenced it. Remember, he even like
Coach Stacy.
He came out and said, something.
Like Coach Stacy or something like that. Yeah,
because I'm sure that's going to be the most maddening job all year is trying to coach up Jerod Mayo after every press conference and being like, all right, I liked what you did there, but here's where I would do something different all the time. And, you know, I don't think he's been told one way or the other, to be honest, whether he's back next year. I think if you're under contract, it's sort of implied that you are, but you're not going to say you're not, right? That wouldn't happen unless you're actually fired.
No.
You'll be the last to find out, baby.
Look, they asked him the other week. Was it on Monday? Was it last week? They asked him whether or not he was back, and he's like, he basically didn't answer it. Meaning on Greg's show.
Got it.
And then here he was asked, and he's like, I'm focused on the Bills. At bare minimum, maybe he just knows it's a tenuous situation, and he should be aware. I think it's close.
It's gotten a lot worse. I think the last week got a lot worse. Coming off the bye week and playing the way that it did, I think is pretty brutal. But, you know, and everything with Van Pelt and throwing him under the bus and then walking that back yet again, I think the whole situation has looked worse for Mayo. He did – when was it? Was it 2 weeks ago where he was talking about the player – year one to year two jump.
Yep.
And how he was looking forward to his.
That was with Curran. That was a sit down with Curran.
Oh, got it. So that was a couple of weeks ago.
Curran, by the way, who says Mike Vrabel would listen.
Got it.
And Orlovsky makes it seem, and maybe this hurts the case.
Yeah.
But Orlovsky makes it seem like Vrabel has a job lined up and it's probably here.
Yeah.
So there's all that. There's more from Mayo. I want to play you some clips from Drake May as well. So let's rip through some of this. We'll get back to your phone calls here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. It is a Celtics Wednesday. We have more Celtics thoughts coming up later on in the show. I've been talking Patriots right now. He was asked about his job security as well.
There was a report from Miami City this weekend that said that you've been privately assured that the Crafts are going to give you the time and resources necessary to continue to hold the job. Has that been communicated to you?
I'm not sure where that story came from. Look, I have multiple conversations on a daily basis with ownership, and they've always been supportive.
Okay. Not sure where that story came from.
All right.
And you have multiple conversations daily, and they've always been supportive.
Okay.
Okay.
They still supportive?
No, they've definitely been supportive of you. That wasn't a question. Are they still supportive?
We know for a fact they're not supportive of Alex Van Pelt.
Yep.
So if that's what they're saying about Alex Van Pelt publicly, I mean, again, not really publicly, but yes, publicly. It wasn't intended to be publicly, but you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like,
when
they're mouthing the play calling is terrible, that's how upset they are at Van Pelt. I can't imagine. Maybe I'm just naive to this. Do you think Robert and Jonathan have watched all season and been like, man, none of the blame falls on Gerard?
I mean, no.
They can't possibly, just as football fans, let alone like owners of the team.
See, are you surprised that this comment about Van Pelt is the one that seems to have people, like media people, to me most fired up? Like Breer's like, I've never seen this. He talked himself onto the hot seat. Curran called it dysfunctional. I heard Mego this morning. Mego's like, I thought Mayo was going to be back. This was really bad.
Yeah, I think.
Are you surprised that this comment is the one that like got a lot of media people's attention?
Well, I think it's the combination of it is the losing streak, what the record is
coming out of the
year. You're not getting any better.
Non-competitive,
and
not
like,
getting better.
The
yeah.
team's not getting better, but then you're also not getting better at this. Like you keep having to walk stuff back. So you already threw the team under the bus, and then you walked that back. Then you've stepped in it a bunch of different times, and then you're burying a coach who I think most people view as the best coach on the team. Not without his flaws, but like...
Yeah, not a good coach, just best coach on the team.
Right. Bobar, yeah. Fine. But then he steps over it, and there's Alex Van Pelt. But you're going to trash him, and it also speaks to your lack of command. So if you're questioning him for that, you're actually the one guy that can step in and do something
about it. You're the only... We yell at our TVs.
Yeah.
You can actually do something about it.
You could, and you know what?
Have a headset, you don't use it.
This was a spot where you had two chances. Like, that's what's even crazier.
Third and fourth
down. Like one play. It's one play. You didn't like it. You still had time to walk down and be like, do this. Because, like, who do you think told him to go for it on fourth down? I bet it was Mayo. You couldn't have added.
Or maybe he just didn't say anything and they're like, I guess we're going for it.
Maybe he fell asleep. He did a little snooze on the sideline like he does. No, but he probably said first down. So you don't think he could have added run it with May? You can do it.
Could add
it. You're right there on the sideline right next to the guy.
Keith, you said it. I didn't.
Yeah, right. And the way he does it, too, is insane.
Such a worm. Yeah. A worm's worm is what he is. How about this? If the team has an identity, I've not heard or read this. I'm curious to hear this.
Do you feel that you and the team have established an identity yet? Or is that still something that you're working to map out?
Yeah, I understand the question 100%. What I would say is we are what our record says we are at this point in time. And we just got to get better.
They were talking about this morning about like that's such a cliche line. Bill Parcells made it famous years ago.
Yeah.
You are what your record says you are. But in all reality, doesn't it feel worse than 3-11?
I heard this.
Talking about this, and I agree with them completely.
It feels worse. Somehow it feels worse than they feel a million miles. Last year was really bad.
Yeah.
They feel a million miles away from that.
Well, weeks ago, we looked at the five worst teams from a year ago.
Yep.
The four other teams, with like five games in hand, had already won more games than they did the previous year. The one exception was the Patriots.
Yeah, and by the way, that does not make all of them good, but they've all won games than they did a year ago.
No, Carolina blows, but they've already won more games.
Mm-hmm.
This was a couple weeks ago than they had all of last year. So these bad teams.
Washington's going to the playoffs. Chargers are going to the playoffs, I think, anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Arizona is.
In the mix.
At least in the hunt,
yeah.
as they say. It's 7-7, but they were, a 4-win team last year?
Mm-hmm. They drafted right after you, yeah.
So all those teams are better. So, yeah, they're 3-11, but it feels like a much worse 3-11.
Well, at least he understood the question.
100% I do.
100%.
The question wasn't, do you understand this question? Can you answer this question? I understand it. 100%.
Drake May was on WEEI Afternoons earlier this week. He was asked about Alex Van Pelt on the phone, never in person.
He calls in, yeah.
This is back-to-back. We're going to hear two answers here. He's asked about Mayo's job, the job he's done, and Alex Van Pelt, the job he's done. Let's hear it.
There's some questions about your coach's job security at this point in the season. First of all, what did you take on that? Maybe what do some of the guys in the locker room feel about what Gerard might be doing?
Oh, yeah, I think it's, his first year coaching, being a head coach, it's a tough challenge, for New England Patriots. Just like I said, it's a lot of responsibility being the quarterback, same as head coach. It's a lot of responsibility, and he's figuring it out, and you know, I think our players, you know, we're behind him. We're backing him, and we trust, you know, the plan he's got for us, and we trust, I think, what he says in the team meeting rooms and all his little sayings that he has. We believe in it, and we're bought into it. I just think, you know, the results are coming. I think they're coming. I think kind of, you know, we wish, everybody wishes they were now, and I think we're kind of striving for that, but sometimes I think it doesn't work out that way, but I think what we're coming in and the winning is coming in the near future.
Do you feel the same way about Alec Pickett? I imagine that's...
100%. Like I spoke on AVP, I think I was on the radio show about AVP. It's what he's done for my development. And,
name the show.
You know, just a quarterback-friendly offensive coordinator. I think you want that in that room. He's easy on anybody to coach you up. He'll coach you hard to let you know when you know my part of the job or my part of the play is not done right. He'll let you know. He'll be the first one to let me know, but first one to pump me up. So he's been awesome and huge for me. Him and TC both have been awesome, and you know, can't say enough about those guys.
Okay, so he's a first-year player.
Yeah.
Mayo's a first-year coach. They both lost, well, I was about to say equal amounts. I guess May's lost a little less.
Right.
Because he didn't get in until later on in the year. But you can see with Drake May, this is a good example to me. You can see with Drake May there's something there. With Mayo, there's nothing there.
No.
They're both losing, but there's nothing there with Mayo.
A texter says, I don't even think Gerard can make a case why he should be back next year.
Me either.
Like, really, other than like, well, I'll be better in year two. Like, no, based on what? Based on nothing. It's funny.
They were playing hard for him, and May just said they're playing hard for him. No, I don't think they were against Arizona.
Drake May stumbled into, like, a good answer.
Kinda.
And by good, I mean, like, a respectable answer.
Yeah.
But he starts out by being like, yeah, he's a first-year coach. Being like, he's swimming in it.
Yeah.
He's clearly swimming in it. Hasn't gotten any better.
Nope.
It's late in the year. This isn't issues in September, October.
Right.
And so he's still dealing with it, maybe a little bit worse. I love how he's like, he's got these funny little sayings or whatever. Like.
Did he say something? What did
like
he say?
These little sayings. We're buying these little sayings.
Did he say we're buying in, I think?
Oh, maybe. Probably.
You know.
Well,
maybe,
the results aren't there.
Maybe I'm really parsing words, but it was something like, I think. We're buying in, I think.
But just those two answers, again, he's trying to be as like PC as possible, but wasn't it very clear he likes Van Pelt more than Mayo?
Yes.
We trust, I think, what he says in the team meeting room.
Maybe not.
We
though.
Trust, I think.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
No, but it feels like yes. AVP is a much more ringing endorsement than Mayo,
yeah.
Is how I'd put it.
And by the way, he was led more into the AVP question there, like, oh, would you say the same thing about Van Pelt? For sure. Mm-hmm. But his Van Pelt answer was much more polished than the Mayo
one. All those sayings that he has, we believe in it. And
all those sayings all those he
sayings.
Has.
Those little sayings.
Those little sayings he has.
The human bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Gerard Mayo.
Like, we're going to burn some cash. Or I said it. Or you said it, not me.
You said it, not me.
Or just when he groans it's into like the microphone.
We should do we're very late to this,
yeah.
Since we only have a handful of shows left in the week. We should do a Gerard Mayo like Christmas album, like play all the hits.
That's
like, you know.
Could. We could.
Like Gerard Mayo's Jingle Bells is, you said it, I didn't.
We're bringing in talent 1,000%. So
Birds
have a lot of cap space.
Love it.
And cash.
Yeah.
Ready to burn some cash.
All your holiday favorites. Like, you know,
people
burn
are a lot
some
smarter
cash.
Than me.
Name 50.
We're
you
gonna,
said it, I didn't.
Name 300.
You know, who loves snuggling up with a Yule log and putting on, we're going to win more than four games. Put me on the record.
You know Mayo does.
That's the Mayo. The Mayo Grove. A Mayo holiday album.
There's a lot in there.
We got a few days to throw that together.
Obviously, this.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right.
Me and Nick are doing dueling banjos in here with Mayo cuts. Sorry.
Just play with stereo.
Yeah.
All right. Do you think it got back to him about the groaning at the beginning of press conferences?
Maybe, because he stopped.
He's not doing it anymore.
He stopped.
I wonder if that got back to him.
And I don't even blame him for that.
Not to give us
me
too much
Mayo
credit.
Me and about the same age. Every time I sit down, I make a horrible noise. So I really don't even blame him for it.
Not to give us too much credit, but like I wonder if that got back to him. Like, hey, Gerard, you okay?
Yeah,
really? Is everything good with you? You sound terrible. 617-779-7937. I see more Patriots plans lined up.
One thing I learned from coaches and from Thunder...
Thunder. You know, all the greatest hits, like Thundercat. We'll also get to Kirk Cousins getting benched. What does that tell us about playing your rookie right away? This is the shining example. Sit him behind Kirk Cousins. He's going to learn. Wrong.
No.
Play your rookies.
Play the best guy.
This one has to be covered more than just about any Christmas song. This is covered a lot.
Yeah, I would say so. It's up there. I mean, there's probably like five or six of them that everybody puts on their holiday album.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you gotta do it.
Gotta do run Rudolph.
If you don't run Rudolph,
it's like our
Jingle Bells.
It's like our Patriots plan. Everybody's gotta have Fire Mayo on there.
Not Wiggy,
but
went
just
against
about,
the grain there.
Just about everyone.
He did have two brand new coordinators though.
Yeah.
That were both head coaches at one point.
And you told me they put his ass in the jackpot earlier today, and it was Vrabel or
He did pick Vrabel over Mayo. He did. So if even Wiggy's doing that, and I say that as one of the guys that's really been defending Mayo this whole time, being like, the roster sucks, the other coaches suck, like all that, even he was like, no, you go with Vrabel.
Yeah. So the plans are up on social media. You can still vote who had the better plan, Jones or Keefe. 60-second plans to fix the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing that on the phones all day long. Not a full minute for our callers. We'll get into Kirk Cousins getting benched for Michael Penix. I think there's a Drake May Patriots story in there as well. But with a Patriots plan,
yeah,
calling from upstairs.
Is that right?
Brian, the receptionist, you ready to go on the clock?
Let's go, Brian. Let's go. 30 seconds on the clock.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Get it going, Nick.
Get it going, Brian. You're on the clock.
Okay. Here's what you do. First thing you do is you call the city of Indianapolis, okay? You offer them the entire New England Patriots franchise in exchange for Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark. You do a dispersal draft between the Patriots and the Colts.
Uh-huh.
The Fever are now in Boston. They're called the Boston Shamrocks. And we get Caitlin Clark. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay. What do you think of that?
His Patriots plan was really just to hype up Caitlin Clark?
Yep.
Okay. She was the
you know what?
Full lot of honkies in here.
Player of the year, right? I think that was why.
Was she?
Not player of the year, person of the year.
Oh, yes. Time athlete of the year.
Time athlete of the year. Of course. Thank you, Nick, if you let me finish. Time athlete of the year.
You got two chances.
And it was very well received by everybody in the WNBA.
Yes.
Other owners loved it. Other players loved it.
Well, there's a certain segment of the country
that thought it was well deserved.
Yes. Brian, no offense to your plan, but stick to bringing the D'Angelos.
He does a great job bringing the D'Angelos every Tuesday.
Yeah. No, but Brian,
he's a big Clark fan.
Brian the receptionist. That's a new caller on the show.
If Brian the receptionist wants to call in, he's going to have to maybe bring it a little bit stronger than that, but that's fine.
He's on the clock.
He's working.
Then we put him on a clock as well.
Yep.
Pretty good.
People are trying to call into the station up there, and it's busy because it's him on hold with us.
Like UPS packages being dropped off.
Yeah.
Like, winners trying to pick up tickets.
I'm almost on with Joseph and Keith White a little bit. The Caitlin Clark thing was controversial.
Very much so.
People were mad about it.
Hey, you picking up your 12 days of Curtismas there, Chris Curtismas? No. Hang on.
I'm on hold.
Yeah, hang on. Yeah, you can wait for your Mac Jones football. Thank you very much. So Patriots plans all day long. That is not one we had heard. And that was not...
There was no copying.
Gerard Mayo heard that and was like, that's somebody not firing me.
He's like, I like that plan.
That's good. Good plan.
And we get a WNBA team in Boston.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
The Boston Shamrocks, no less.
He changed the name of the team and everything. You wouldn't keep Fever?
No. Kirk Cousins benched. Michael Penix in there. This was propped up as the plan in the offseason. Bring in a veteran quarterback.
Sit Penix for 2 years.
Bring in Penix. Let him develop. Sit him for a year. Sit him for two. Kirk Cousins is a top 10 quarterback, which I actually agreed with that first part. I like Cousins more than most.
But now you're throwing Penix in with the season on the line, and you're like, you need to win these games to get us into the playoffs.
So they play the Giants, someone, and then I think they finish with the Panthers. There are two winnable games left. I forget who the middle one is, but it's like Giants and Panthers are very, very winnable games.
Washington.
Commanders.
Okay, so I would still consider that a winnable game, but I wouldn't pick them necessarily.
But they'll probably go 9-8, and then it's...
So then they're football for that one. Falcons, Commanders.
But I just,
is that right?
I just think this is an example. You play Caleb Williams week one. Maybe that's a little shaky, but I still would have done it. Jaden Daniels is a star, played week one. Drake May should have played week one. Bo Nix did play week one. The Broncos are 9-5.
Going to the playoffs.
The Falcons shouldn't even have screwed around with wasting all this money on Kirk Cousins. I don't care about the money, but just play Penix week one and find out what you have. You drafted him 8th overall. There was no point in sitting him.
No, think about all the money they threw at Kirk Cousins and what you could have done to your team. Like, what other players could you have brought in? They gave him a good contract. You could have gotten another offensive lineman. I mean, the Falcons are a very middle-of-the-road team, so you can get it. Like, they could have used the whole lot. Didn't they trade for Judon?
Yes.
They probably could have paid a real pass rusher, kept that draft pick.
Probably could have done that.
Judon's washed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they're probably regretting the Kirk Cousins signing.
I would think so. And so, again, this was held up as an example of this is how you do it. You sit your quarterback. They wait. They need to watch behind the scenes and wait and learn. Wrong. I mean, look, at least this class is proving that you're taking a big fat L on draft and develop. Let them sit and wait. No. It's 2024, almost 2025. You let him play.
Judon is up to 3.5 sacks.
Oh, nice.
It's tied for 97th in the league.
So. Top 100.
Top 100. Top 100 sack master.
He's been a top, for many years, he was the Patriots' only top 100 player.
Yeah.
Now he's in the top 100 in terms of bringing down the quarterback.
Didn't work out.
Sack lunch. No.
Yeah, I get it.
Do you have three?
3.5.
Oh, Schooler has close to 3, doesn't he?
Good point. Longhorn package is tough.
Yeah, it's true.
So, yeah, they might have replaced his production with Brandon Schooler. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like,
that's correct.
It's one move you can point to that Elliot Wolf made that was actually kind of a heist. And I hated it when he made it. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here. More of your Patriots plans. We're not just fixing the Patriots, though, Keith.
Why stop there?
We also have solutions, plans on fixing the NBA. Let's get back into that with all your phone calls next.